going to take it back really far and talk about your origins in music.
Well, I was born at a very young age.
And you were classically trained for the most part?
Both my parents are musicians, and grew up in classical music and all kinds of music, really. Started asking for a violin apparently when I was 2 years old, and I don't really remember that. I don't know what made me want to play it either, but I apparently wanted to do it. So my parents kind of held out for a couple years, and then when I was 4 years old, I was still saying it, so they got me a little tiny violin and got me started with Suzuki lessons, and I did classical music all the way up through college, and I still do it.
Do you think it's just geography that you got into bluegrass?
All my family is from Kentucky, going back many generations. But at that point, my mom and dad and myself were living outside of New York City. So I was about 9 when we moved back, kind of got the whole Kentucky thing. Living on a farm, it's got that kind of ingrained too. So by the time I got to college, I started getting into lots of other different types of music that I hadn't necessarily really listened to before, and part of that was old-time music. I still kind of prefer old-time music instead of bluegrass. I like playing it all, but, you know, at that point, it was kind of just about reconnecting with roots in general, rediscovering music that is a part of the cultural fabric of this geographical area, for sure. I mean, that's definitely part of it. And then, you know, a few years back, somebody pulled out the old family tree that had been compiled over the years. And looking back on both my mom's and dad's side of the family, there were a lot of farmers and a lot of judges and doctors and stuff like that. But there were also quite a few people who played the fiddle, going back into like the 1800s and 1700s even. So nobody knew about that until just a few years ago. I thought that was pretty cool.
Okay, so you've got like the DNA on your side.
Yeah, got the DNA and then an interest in the cultural roots and the cultural fabric of this area.
So what are some of the distinguishing facets of violin music when we're talking old time versus bluegrass versus classical?
The idea of playing a melody over and over is something that is kind of unique to old time music. I think that's a pretty cool thing, because it's sort of like one of the original trance musics, you know, not necessarily about flashy improvisation like bluegrass. But it's about the rhythm and the groove and lulling you into this place. It's more of a folk tradition, I would say, than bluegrass, which I would call more of a virtuoso tradition. So I would say, you know, if I could boil it down to one thing, the left hand makes the notes, and the right hand makes the music. It's a sentiment that I think pretty much any working violin or fiddle player would agree with, in that the left hand is pretty much the same whether you're playing classical or old-time or bluegrass or jazz or rock and roll. But the right hand is what gives it each style a different sort of character, whether it's more percussive or more rhythmic or, you know, more lyrical. I think that that's what brings out the differences in all those styles.
Well, now it's festival season for you, and I would assume that you're going to be doing almost exclusively not classical music.
Yeah, classical is something that I still practice regularly. You know, I try to practice Bach or Paganini all the time, just to keep my fingers in shape, keep everything well-oiled. But for the last few years, classical's definitely taken a backseat to all the other stuff, which is cool. I enjoy the other stuff a lot.
And you are going to Rocky Grass, is that right?
Yeah, 23-string band. We went out last year and did the band competition, and we had the good fortune to take home a blue ribbon. So we are playing on the main stage at Rocky Grass this summer.
Mm-hmm. Was last year your first 23-string two were out west?
We were in Colorado, Wyoming, and Montana. The people out there are just amazingly supportive of this kind of music. Like, I hate to say it, but maybe a little bit more so than around here. Maybe because we're kind of, you know, saturated with so many good bands that we take it for granted sometimes around here. Obviously, we have a lot of really awesome fans in this area. But yeah, especially sort of since we're not real super traditional of a band, I think that that's probably one thing that people in the mountain states kind of respond to. They love their Newgrass out there, and I wouldn't say that we're a Newgrass band, but we kind of appeal to those crowds a little bit more so than maybe a more traditional band would.
Dark-haired girl from Virginia, just trying to find her place. Lessons taught in the hidden cost to have her independence day. With an uneasy feeling and a ticket on a one-way line, the distance became a convenience for her and the heartache became mine.
That you guys are almost done writing for a new album.
Oh, yeah. Well, I wouldn't say we're almost done, but I'd say we've got a really good start. We got a ton of material that is either finished or in various states of progress. We've got several new tunes that we've been working into our set, and they all seem to be going over pretty well, and we're kind of gradually working things in. So hopefully we'll have several at least to play for the first time at ROMP. All of her I remember, there's no need for a photograph. I see that over shoulder smile whenever I close my eyes. Time I spent on her, I meant well, I might as well. We put together a fun album this last time, and I really can't wait to get back in the studio. Recording is one of my favorite things to do.
Mm-hmm. Would you record with Kevin Ratterman again?
Yeah, we've been talking to Kevin again. You know, Kevin's a good friend of mine, and we all love the vibe working with him, going for a little bit of a unique sound when it comes to roots music, because Kevin's like a rock drummer, you know? And we were tracking the tape and playing through vintage equipment and trying to give it kind of a rocking sound. Hopefully the next one will be even more so.
And this is at the funeral home?
Well, that was at the funeral home. Kevin's set up now in a different location here in Louisville, and he's actually in the process of getting a brand new studio space open.
And okay.
What I hear, it's going to be really, really incredible. And so by the time we're ready to record our album, hopefully in the fall, I think he's going to have that place open. So this will be a proper studio. Like, the funeral home was so funky and fun and, like, kind of kooky, you know, and just really cool, homey place to record. And recording in a studio is always a little bit different because it feels like a studio, you know. But I think knowing Kevin, he's going to have this place just as cool feeling and welcoming and all that stuff. It'll be just as funky there, I'm sure.
Hey, 1 second, you said you're with who?
Not the guy with the tightrope blue jeans.
Not the dude with the pink ring.
And the turtleneck.
Oh, and the herringbone neck. Ironic mustache.
The seersucker suit.
The little dude on the goat.
Hey, not the guy with the banjo. Hey, check out that dude over there. Looks like he's built like a refrigerator with a head.
What are some things that either you've seen yourself personally develop or progress or accomplish, I guess?
Oh, well, let's see. I've been riding my bike a lot lately, getting a lot of exercise. as far as playing goes,
like what's going on in your brain before you sit down to practice?
What's practice?
Are you just at the top of your game right now? There's nowhere to go.
No, far from it. Like I said, you're always reaching. You're never content. In fact, I think the farther along you get, the more you realize there is to learn. I don't know. I mean, that's a good question. I've had an obsession with sort of the fundamentals of playing an instrument. So a lot of times I'll start out a practice session with just playing open strings for 15 minutes or half an hour. That would be the first little section of practice, and then I would do scales for like an hour. and the focus with that being, again, on the precision with the right hand, I should probably have a goal of doing more transcribing other things. My focus, to be completely honest, I feel pretty good about where I'm at with playing my instrument fluently. Obviously, there's always room for improvement, but I'm at a place where I feel like it's more important for me to just kind of do whatever it takes to maintain the level I'm at and obviously keep inching forward. But my focus has been less on a rigid practice regimen on the instrument and a little bit more on songwriting and composition and thinking about music in a more big picture way, maybe in a more abstract or spatial way, and thinking about form and thinking about harmony and thinking about lyrics, which is a big turning point for me in the last couple of years. I actually discovered how to write lyrics, I hope. You know, just sort of being less of a violinist and trying to become a more complete musician overall. And I would say the same thing with, like, stage presence. Letting my face and my body tell a story on stage in addition to whatever I'm playing. So things like that, I think, have taken up more of my consciousness than they used to, at the expense of a little bit of practice time on my instrument. But I think that's a good thing for me at this point.